Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 7 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. This morning Marana Bam joins us telephonically from Johannesburg. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed and great listeners of Radio Islam.
We trust that everything is well on your side, inshallah, Marana.
Allah has always been kind, far exceeding our worth.
Mm-hmm. Marana, a quick recap of last week's program and also a prelude to today's program.
Yes, Marana, this book is really, in many ways, a very unique book. It's something that I would really recommend for people, especially people who like to read about management and like to hear about and read in the field of bettering human relationships. Reading Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is a far greater book, The Art of Interacting with People, as deduced from the study of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. In our last two programs, we did chapter number 17, Use the Right Flavor. Use the right flavor in dealing with people. Gave many examples from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also many examples across the board with regard to using the right flavor in your relationships with people. The one contemporary example the author gave was a group of brothers and sisters all trying to vie for the attention of the mother, and one of the brothers succeeded beyond all other brothers and sisters. And the author said, when he was asked, how do you get along so well with your mother compared to other brothers and sisters, and how beautifully, he said, he said, all the other brothers and sisters, when they come to the mother, they speak about serious things. My mother is an ordinary woman, like woman of her age, wanting to know what's happening in the community. So I speak to her about what's happening in the community. This one got married. This one got a child. This one did this. This one did that. That is why she is so close to me. Using the right flavor to deal with the mother. Then Nabi Karim saw some example. He said that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he dealt with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he did not deal in the same way with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha or Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. He used the right flavor. Then we gave many examples of Hazrat Muawiyah bin Hakam radiallahu ta'ala an, who was a young Sahabi who did something wrong while the people were performing Salat with Jamaat. He said something very loud. Everyone looked at him. And he was even more angry that why are the people looking at me? When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a person sneezes, you must say, Yarhamukallah. He did not realize it does not mean at the time of Salat. And when someone sneezes, he said, loud, Yarhamukallah. And afterwards, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the people. What was the commotion? Because he said, loud, Yarhamukallah. The people started hitting their hands on the thighs, that keep quiet, don't say it loud. And he said, why are you looking at me like this? What did I do wrong? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what was the commotion? Muawiyah bin Hakam radiallahu ta'ala an was called. And then Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala said these beautiful words. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explain me, ma darabani, wala qaharani, wala shatamani. He did not abuse me, he did not swear me, he did not treat me in a way that made me feel guilty. He explained to me, and he said, ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qablahu wala ba'dahu ahsana min. I never saw a mu'allim before or after better than the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many such examples were given. I must say that the example with regard to Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to read Surah Baqarah in Isha, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, oh Mu'adh, are you going to put people in fitna? Also resonated a lot with people. Many people asked me the source with regard to it. It is something that is well sourced from the ahadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was, use the right flavor. In a similar type of vein, today we said, use the right topic. Just as you use the right flavor, then use the right topic when you deal with people. And I would like to just put this out to the people. How you are in a particular mood and how someone used the right topic to take you away from that. Mm. How did you feel very offended when someone chose a topic that was not appropriate?
Exactly.
Start thinking about that. I've got one or two personal examples that I would like to share, and inshallah we will do that after the break.
Jazakumullah khairan. The lines are open. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the studio WhatsApp number 072-786-1548, 072-786-1548, or SMS 48855. Mullah Bam is also available on Twitter at Ibrahim Bam. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. 16 minutes after 9, you are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. We are discussing chapter 18 today, and the topic is choose the right topics. And we're going to ask Mullah to start off the topic, and then inshallah we can contribute from our side. Mullah?
Yes, Mona, the one thing that I would say, how do you choose the right topic? Let me just give you one or two examples. One, when we were studying, one day, Dr. Abdul Razak Iskandar, and he's one of those ulama who have, alhamdulillah, he's the principal of our madrasa, he's the muhtamim of our madrasa, stayed with Mona bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, and he's a remarkable human being. And he's also very good in Arabic. His Arabic is fluent, because he studied many years in the Arab countries. So one day he related there was an Arab delegation that came. And when the Arab delegation came, obviously the madrasa chose someone to perform and read qiraat. So they read from one portion of the Holy Quran. I even remember which portion. It was in Surah Kahf. And afterwards in the class, the Qari was in our class, so he told him, you know, why don't you, when someone comes, choose an appropriate Quranic ayah to recite.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that something looks good in qiraat, you just read it. He said, don't you choose what are you going to read according to the delegation, according to someone. And you are ulama, you are qari, you're not only a qari, you're not only a hafiz, you are also an alim.
Mm.
Why don't you choose? So he said, I gave you two examples. Two great qurra came to Newtown, came to our madrasa. And one was Qari Khalil Al-Husri. He came in the mid-70s.
Mm.
He was still young. And it was well known that Hazrat Mawlana Binur Rahmatul Ali was fighting against those people who denied the finality of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood. Right? So he was in the forefront with regard to it, safeguarding the finality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood. So when Qari Khalil Al-Husri knew about that, he chose Innal Muslimina Wal Muslimat, and he ended off ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. He said, and you know, I must tell you that in an age where CDs of Qur'an reading was not so widespread the way it is today, The first time you heard a prominent Qari, and that time the three prominent Qaris were Qari Abdul Basit, Qari Siddiq Al-Manshawi, and Qari Khalil Al-Husri, when he read, you were spellbound. You could not even think that someone could read Quran so beautifully. It was, up till today, I can still remember where I was sitting and what an impact it had upon us. And when he came to Ma Kana Muhammadun Aba Harim Mirja Walakir Rasulullah wa Khatam al-Nabiyin, the Prophet of Almighty Allah, the seed of prophets, the way Hazrat Mawlana bin Nuri was crying and the entire congregation was emotional, he knew what Mawlana bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali was doing, and he chose the right ayat to recite. And then, of course, Qari Abdul Basit came after a while, and he read also an ayat pertaining to ilm. So Dr. Abdul Razak Iskandar said that when you are called upon to recite qiraat, if you are an alim, then use and recite not only those things which are popular in terms of qari, Qari like to read Hu Allahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illa Hu or something. Read ayats which are appropriate. Choose the right ayats. So I found that something when I looked at this and I was reading this, this incident came to my mind. The other incident that came to mind was a slightly negative one. I remember one woman one day phoning me and said, and speaking about marital problems, and of course many a times people do come and tell you with regard to the marital problems, and said that the marital problem started off the day I got married, the first time when I came into the house. Now remember, it is your first night. And obviously there is certain type of expectations of a first night. There is certain aspects with regard to a first night. And it's not something that is only now. I mean, many people don't realize, but if you look at history, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha's nikah, and when she was going to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Asma binti Umais, they decorated her room.
Mm.
At a time when things were not aware, they put what we will call today hangers into the room. Right? And it was something very new. And the books of hadith said, Ma ra'aytu ursan ahadam min ursi Fatima. There was no urs that was better at that time than the urs and the parting of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala.
Mm.
So there is something. So this woman complained and said, the first time I came into the house on the first night, my in-laws took me one side and said, these are the rules of the house.
Mm.
We will not employ domestics. You must do this yourself. You must do this yourself. This is what you must do. This you must not do. This is how you must cook. This one. And she said, I was 17, 18 years of age, and I was just taken aback. I was shocked. Now, here was one situation of an inopportune topic being brought at an inopportune time.
Yeah.
So, now, use the right topic when you deal with people. Deal with people, choose the right topic, choose the right time. And someone is not in a good mood, now you don't bring about a serious issue. I always tell people in a relationship, the spouses must not be angry together. Because once you are angry together, you can never ever discuss and come to any mutual type of agreement. Because anger gets the better of you. So I think these are just my initial remarks, which I suppose said one or two things that have been that I saw, and maybe other people could also and we'll give examples from the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
It's important that you make those remarks, Mawlana, like choosing the appropriate qira'ah. Now it's a wedding ceremony and the nikah is about to take place. You start at-talaqu marratan. That's a big problem. Or you go into a walima ceremony and they ask you to read qira'ah and you come kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. It's a reality, we don't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
But use the appropriate qira'ah for the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
They say in Urdu, Mawlana, Moqa Shanas, Mardum Shanas.
Yes.
And they speak about that. Mawlana, perhaps you can start over the chapter itself and then introduce the topic, Mawlana.
Yes, he said, following from the previous chapter is the subject of way to talk to people and what to talk about. When someone converses with another person, he should talk about subjects that are suitable.
Mm.
The topic he may choose to discuss with a youth and with the young people would be quite different to that which he chooses to discuss with the elderly. The type of conversation he has with a scholar would not be the same as that with a layman.
Exactly.
Similarly, the topic that you would choose for your wives would not be the same as those with your sister or your mother.
Hmm.
And I always tell people, I mean, you can't be too serious about with your wife. I mean, if you're going to tell her whatever masla you tell, first of all, the wives are not going to accept easily masalas from the husband.
Yeah.
There has to be another way of the husband impressing upon the wife. Because whatever masala the husband is going to say, then the wife is going to say, there is ikhtilaf in this one. There's a difference of opinion. This alim says this and this alim says this. Because it's not a relationship. It's not a ustad-shagird relationship.
Mm.
It's not an ustad-student relationship. It's a different relationship. This is not to say that the topic must be completely different for every person, such that the story one may relate to his sister should never be related to his wife, or what is said to a young can never be repeated to an elderly, not at all. What is being referred to is the way in which the story is related will differ. By way of example, imagine if one were to sit with some elderly guest over 80 years old who had come to visit one's grandfather, would it be appropriate for him to laugh and joke while discussing what he did with his friend at the beach? And relate how well his friends play football. No doubt this would be perhaps not right. Although in today's time, grandparents also know about these things. Similarly, when speaking to small children, it won't be suitable to relate various stories concerning how husbands should treat their wives. It is agreed upon, therefore, that from the ways of attracting others is to choose the topic they like to discuss.
Mm.
And I think the author is very beautifully towards the end of the chapter, he puts in a small quote and a point of view. And in that quote, he said, talk about what others like to hear, not what you like to relate.
Subhanallah.
Talk about others and to others about what they like to hear, not what you like to relate. normally when you're speaking informally to people, then you are not giving a bayan. As sometimes you have to be reminded by people that, you know, you're so used to giving bayans, so stop giving bayans now. So speak to me. Don't give bayans. So a lot of times the friends normally remind you that, you know, please, don't give us bayans. You gave us enough bayans on Friday. So I think that was the aspect. So choose the right topic. That from the ways of attracting others is to choose the topic they like to discuss. For instance, if there's a father who has an intelligent son, it would be appropriate to ask about him, as a father would most definitely be proud of him and love to discuss the subject. For example, I heard your son did very well in the matric. I heard he has graduated. Tell me more about him. It would be an appropriate subject because normally people would like to speak about their sons, especially when they have done well. Likewise, there might be a person who has just opened up a shop and be making a handsome profit. Thus, it would be appropriate to ask about his shop, the customers. How has your business become successful? How? What means have you adopted? Obviously, Allah Ta'ala is the one who grants risk. But what means have you adopted to be able to, you know, get people and feet coming to your shop? He would therefore love to sit and discuss this time and time again. And this is the way to enhance better relationship, is to choose the right topic.
Interesting indeed. Yes, you can't be sitting at a social event and you're bringing up serious topics that make people depressed. For example, listen, you will go to Jahannam if you don't do this.
No, maybe talk about Hilal or Halal.
Yeah.
I tell people, wherever I go, wherever you go throughout the world, you know, normally the two things that somehow or the other divide the Muslims is Hilal or Halal.
It's interesting. And some people, they are always in a depressed mode. So wherever they go, they only talk about depressing things. So they need to cheer up a little bit, and they need to calm down a little bit.
But it can't be too much also.
Yeah, drawing the balance, well, of course. For example, somebody has just gone through a crisis in the family, and now they just managed to get through it. Now, in a social event, you're again bringing up the same story. So tell me, what happened to your father? How he passed away? It's not a time to bring it up at that moment. If you're concerned, you take him outside or sometime later than that, Malala.
Definitely. You have to choose the right time and the appropriate time and the right topic. And really, it's so important. How do you choose the right topic to be able to, you know, it's amazing. One day we were sitting with a group of students in our madrasa, and Maulana Binur Rahmatullahi came past, and we all obviously, we were now worried, and Maulana Binur Rahmatullahi came past, and he saw us all sitting, and he said, right now, come sit here, and who is the youngest? And then he put us in a line, you know, those who were shorter, and then he put us, he said, you must sit like this. Still remember. he was a principal, now you would have thought, hey, why you people are talking? What you people are doing? No, he said any of this stuff. And I suppose those type of things just remains in your heart all the time. Choosing the right topic, you know, young people, speaking to them according to their temperament. It's something that you have to. Sometimes you strike up a conversation with young people. They like their sports, so you speak to them about sports. And, you know, not now, after 50, although you might be inclined towards sports, but you're not going to... you're not as inclined, as passionate as you were when you were 30 years, you know what I mean? Although some people might disagree with regard to myself. I mean, I'm going to meet Ijaz, I'm going to sit and joke about him with regard to Liverpool.
It's important to keep this in mind, and especially in today's day and age when we are living in a technological world, so we're not so clued up in terms of socializing. So this is a very good chapter to help you. You're going into a new place, new people, you don't know anybody. How do you start up a conversation? So this will provide good guidelines for the discussion. We're going to go for a quick break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. In the meanwhile, you can send in your interactions via Twitter at Ibrahim Baum, or alternatively via the WhatsApp number 0727861548.
Assalamu alaikum. It's me again, inviting all to join us to spend the blessed night of Mi'raj in the land of Mi'raj, Aqsa, on our three haram tour. Three ihram in Aqsa, Jummah in each haram. Packages from only 20,900 per person sharing. Alternately, you could join us for itikaf in Aqsa also. Discounted airfares, limited seats. Call Mullah Musa Padat now. 011-0400-800. 011-079-4681. Email mbedat87@gmail.com. Call now 011-0400-800.
Yes, it is a social program and we are discussing chapter 18, which reads, use the right topic. Bring up the relevant discussion when you're meeting different types of people. Here's a message coming through, Marana. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, Marana. Please advise, what do you say to a person who survived a major operation?
Well, I would say that if you do, someone comes in with regard to a major operation, firstly, I wouldn't only say that Allah has given you a second life, which normally we do say, and there's truth in it. But also, you know, in saying that, there's an aspect which, of course, is true, but it's also making him feel guilty. First of all, celebrate and congratulate him with regard to his shifa. Before you go and tell him Allah has given you a second life, now go and look after yourself and don't do wrong. That's a typical type of response, which I won't say is wrong completely, but at the same time, before you do that, firstly say, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so nice to see you. You know, it's so nice to see you healthy. Alhamdulillah, to first make him feel well, and then whatever you want to tell him, then tell him nicely. But I would perhaps, instead of looking at that particular situation of putting a person on a guilt trip, I would perhaps first say, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so nice to see you well. We were so worried about you. It will make him feel well.
Yeah, don't say the other person he recovered and after 2 months he died.
Okay.
Don't say things like that. You congratulate the person. Mashallah, Manana. It's a good thing. And you know the hadith states, Manana, when you're visiting a sick person, فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِي. The Prophet of Allah says, give him high hopes. He says, your high hopes is not going to change taqdeer, but it will make him feel better. Amazing. Don't talk of the stressful matters at that time. You know, my uncle also had ulcer. He passed away. He has a burst in the stomach.
Yeah.
You don't bring up such discussions at that time, even if it's a reality and if it's a fact, as you mentioned, Mona.
Yes. And the way someone just sent me an appropriate message, Mona, if someone doesn't know what to say, rather keep silent and smile.
He'll ask, why are you smiling?
That also would cause people unnecessary type of difficulty. Why are you smiling? Anyway,
yeah,
I suppose it might be at least better than to say something that is might be inappropriate.
If you're going into a situation where the person went to a traumatic experience, bring up something light. Example comes to my Mawlana of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he separated from his family for about a month.
Yes.
And Umar ibn al-Khattab, he used that opportune moment to lighten up the mood. Perhaps Mawlana can speak about it.
Hey, that was such a beautiful thing. Well, I think sometimes people, I in many of my talks, I've been telling people, during one of my visits recently, I spoke to the young people and I spoke about education. So I told them that, see, I'm not going to tell you much, but I'm going to ask each and everyone, please do me one favor. Normally a person who is speaking can make some sort of imposition and tell people, I want everyone, just make me say, inshallah, everyone will do it. Read one beautiful book about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I say, I'm not telling you long aspects with regard to education. Each and everyone read one beautiful book of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is amazing how many people don't read. And I gave this example that, you know, I'm teaching a class of history. And when I ask people, did any one of you read about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any book or complete book or about Khulafa Rashidin? Although these were people who had come to study Deen, all of them said, we haven't done so. And it's a sad indictment with regard to our community, and I think that is something that we can rectify. Now, look at how Umar radiallahu anhu came, and let me just very briefly give you the Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had an Ansari friend. They used to stay for a time outside Medina, and then afterwards Umar radiallahu anhu came into Medina, and they used to take chances. One day they used to do their work. One day one of the two used to go to Medina. So whatever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever happened with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to come and give a report back to the other one. So if Umar radiallahu anhu was chance, he used to come to Medina, go and tell his Ansari brother that this is what happened in Medina. So the one day, the Ansari came back and said, do you know what happened? A great tragedy has happened. So that time there was some talk that one of the tribes, the Ghatfan, was about to attack Medina. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, has the Ghatfan attacked Medina? He said, no. He's even worse than that. What? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has divorced his wife. Now, because Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhu, was there, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhu was the daughter of Umar, and Umar became very, very perturbed. So the first opportunity he went to the Masjid al-Nabawi, and he saw everyone was very sad. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had separated and was not with his wife, was not in the Masjid. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sat at a place you know, what we will call a veranda on top, the second, like the first one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made a temporary type of dwelling, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked for permission three times. And three times Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked for permission, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not give permission. Then eventually when he insisted, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited him up. And Nabi Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, and he saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was also sad because there was an incident that happened between him and the wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala then started saying that, O Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how things have changed in our houses. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what? He said, when we were in Makkah, men were dominant over their wives. The wives never ever had the opportunity of asking the husband why, you know. And whatever we said, they did. They never asked us why you did this, why you did that. And we came into Madinah Munawwara, and the Ansari women were different from the women of the Quraysh and different from the women of Makkah. They were more, you know, more open. They were more confident. And they used to ask, and they used to question their husbands with regard to things, and they used to ask. And since then, our wives have gotten into contact with the Ansari woman. I always tell people, normally people come and complain and say, our women are like this and the wives are like this. I said, what do you expect? Look at the environment. You think they're not going to be impacted by the environment? You must make the adaption. You know, you have to adapt. And look at, I'm not speaking from what happens today. I'm speaking from the seerah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, do you know what? Today I did something, and when I did something, my wife asked, why did you do it? And she started questioning me. So I asked, who are you to question me? And she said, oh Umar, don't you speak too much. Even your daughter questions Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled. You know, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam related whatever he wanted to relate. But look at how Umar radiallahu anhu, seeing what was the situation, and Umar radiallahu anhu brought this. And the next incident is so beautiful with regard to how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose the right topic for the right person, as we will go on to explain.
It's amazing, Mulana. Again, looking at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, they relate that when we used to speak about women, the Prophet of Allah would speak with us about women.
Yes.
When we spoke about dunya things, he spoke to us about dunya things. Now, you can't...
In Shamail al-Tirmidhi, Zayd ibn Sabi radiallahu ta'ala's hadith, إِذَا ذَكَرْنَا التَّعَامِ ذَكَرَهُ مَعَنَا. When we spoke about food, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak about food. إِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الدُّنْيَا ذَكَرَهُ مَعَنَا. When we spoke about the dunya, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak about the dunya with us. إِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الْآخِرَةَ ذَكَرَهَا مَعَنَا. When we used to speak about the akhirat, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak about the akhirat with us. Subhanallah. When we used to speak about poetry, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak about poetry with us. Subhanallah. This was the Nabi of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
That
the right thing.
That also tells you that you need to blend in with different people. You know, some people say, no, I'm not that type of person, so don't expect me. That one approach. Or the other one is, let me see what I can do and how I can blend in and mix in with the crowd.
Definitely. I mean, you can't always impose and put your personality over and above the personality of others. Don't only speak about what you want to relate. Speak about to others what they also want to hear.
Interesting indeed. Like now, Mulana, wherever you go for social events, the first thing I ask, Mulana, what do you say about ISIS? So you've got to be well-versed also there, find out some of the contemporary views, so you can get the discussion rolling. That's the first thing they ask.
Not on a table, like in a wedding thing. Now you're speaking about ISIS. Not to say that. I mean, surely there's a time for everything. And sometimes what I also find sometimes is that difficult is that you are with a group of people, and sometimes someone comes and asks a very personal type of question, which is not appropriate to the group. And say that, listen, this has happened, and I want... But that's the situation. Let us discuss it at a time when we will be able to sit one-to-one with regard to it. I don't know if people have any views with regard to it. Have they have any type of situations where people have used the right topic which have changed the mood? And how sometimes... You know, let me give an example. I just enjoy this example with regard to it. That there was a discussion once with regard to Musalla. Musalla that was supposed to be done in the Mayfair area, presently where the Mayfair Masjid is. Before the Mayfair Masjid comes, of course, Newtown, 23rd, 15, and Kirk Street were the major masjids. There were very few masjids outside, and people were starting to stay in those areas. So there was a mashura called with regard to that someone wanted to make available a small musalla. He wanted to make available a small musalla, and the view came that this is too small musalla, rather let us get, you know, something that is more bigger because it's much more. People have come in. And that time there was talk that the Mayfair Masjid is going to come up. And there was a talk that, you know, this musalla, will it serve the purpose till that masjid comes up? And thereafter someone said, no, why do we need a musalla? There is a new town masjid, there is a 21st century masjid. And there's a person who has passed on, you know, Sayyid Kachalya was a mutrasti, and he came in and everyone was sitting and talking and said, and he came up and he said, it was in someone's house, and he stood up and he said, you know, I don't know why we are just wasting time. Till the time the masjid comes, let us use this particular facility. The day the masjid comes, we will go into the masjid. And in the meanwhile, can't someone just make, can't someone and the house people just serve the tea that they are making so that we can get over this meeting? And alhamdulillah, the whole meeting just finished there and there. Alhamdulillah. So while people were sitting and talking, just came up with something and this is how it was.
Interesting indeed. Maharaj, is a beautiful example cited by the author. Perhaps we can discuss that one.
Yes, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu was a great companion. His father was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, and he left behind Jabir radiallahu ta'ala with nine sisters, with no one to take care of them. He had also left behind a huge debt to be paid off, all on the shoulders of this young person who was still very young. Because of this, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, well, I must say that there are certain times that the Thursday program, you know, makes me get unexpected consequences and benefits. So last week, while I was sort of now thinking on a Thursday, what topic I'm going to speak on Friday, last week's topic of how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his life, used methods of improving human relationships. That became the topic of my Jummah. So alhamdulillah, sometimes what we do on Thursday does pay dividends and make things easy for us.
Yes,
so nevertheless, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu was one of those. And because Jabir radiallahu anhu was always anxious and thinking about his sisters and his debts, and the creditors were demanding payment day and night, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled with Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu on the expedition of Dhatul Riqah. Due to his extreme poverty, he did not have a very good camel. He had a camel that was very weak, that could hardly walk. Jabir radiallahu anhu did not have enough money to buy another camel. As a result, everyone preceded him, and he was the last in this expedition. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu in that situation, walking slowly, and he came to me and said, "Oh Jabir, what is wrong?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, my camel is small, slowing me down."
Okay.
And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kneel it down." So Jabir radiallahu anhu kneeled it down. Jabir knelt it down, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also brought his camel down. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Jabir, give me your whip or break a branch of a tree." Jabir gave him the whip. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the whip and struck the camel with it gently, and the camel got up energetically. Jabir radiallahu anhu then had to hold the reins of the camel, for it went away so quickly and enthusiastically. The camel became very lively. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Hazrat Jabir, and he told Hazrat Jabir, "Come, let me join and let me ride with you." And he started riding with Hazrat Jabir. Now look at Jabir radiallahu anhu's situation. He was a young Sahabi. Then he was in this situation. He was feeling a little bit bad because his camel was lagging behind, because it was not a very good camel because of his poverty. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam started speaking with him. And subhanallah, chose the right topic. Because he was young, he didn't speak about him with regard to serious matters. People at that age of 20, they like to be speaking about marriage. How do we get married to? Who do we get married to? What must we look at? You know, so that's the thing that we must be looking at. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Jabir, did you get married?" "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I got." "Who did you get married to?" "Ya Rasulullah, did you get married to a virgin, someone who was not previously married, or someone who was married?" "Ya Rasulullah, I got married to someone who is slightly elder than me, previously married." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surprised. Why a young man like him, who has to marry for the first time, why did he get married to someone who was previously married? And he said to Jabir in kindness, "Oh Jabir, why didn't you marry someone who was not previously married? You also young, she would also have been young, you would have been compatible, you would have enjoyed one another's company. Why did you get married to someone who is your senior?" Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surprised. And Jabir radiallahu anhu gave his explanation. "Ya Rasulullah, my father passed away and was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, and he left me with nine sisters. And I had to look after those sisters." You know, Maulana, I sometimes think, from the Shari point of view, we all know that a woman is never supposed to be vulnerable, never supposed to be fending for herself. And that is why it is not compulsory for her to look after the risk of the house. The nearest male. And firstly, if, for example, the father will look after it before marriage, otherwise the husband. and if, for example, the husband passed away, the sons. But if, for example, there is no sons and there is no father, then the brothers have to look after. Mm-hmm. But in today's time, I wonder if it will ever happen. But here is an example of Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, I got married to a slightly elderly woman because I had 9 young sisters to look after. And I didn't want to have into marriage someone who will be at that age. I wanted someone slightly elder. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that this man he was speaking to had sacrificed his own pleasure for the sake of his sisters.
Allah.
So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, wanted to say something appropriate. Can I carry on, man?
By all means, banana.
Yeah. So Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered something that as they were coming towards Medina, the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he used to do, he used to camp outside Medina, so that the woman of Medina used to know that their husbands are coming, and they used to make appropriate arrangements to keep the house ready, tidy, make themselves tidy, etc. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jabir, even if she is elderly, I'm sure she will be very happy when you come back. I'm sure she will be happy. She will rejoice upon your return. She would lay down the carpet and arrange on it some pillows because you are coming back. And Jabir radiallahu anhu thought of his poverty and that of his sisters, and he said, pillows, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have pillows in our house. We don't even have pillows in our house, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inshallah, you will soon have pillows. And as the two continued along, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wished to give something to Jabir, but he didn't want to give it in a way that it sounded like charity. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give him. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jabir, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, labbaik, Ya Rasulullah. He said, will you sell me your camel? And that time the camel was his only capital, and but he looked upon his cash, that he would be able to have cash to look after his wife and his sisters. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, but only on one condition. I will ride the camel till Medina, and thereafter you can take it. But you can pay me now, and then we can agree upon the price, but I will ride out it till Medina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, no. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started joking, what if I give you 1 dirham? And he started laughing. He said, Ya Rasulullah, 1 dirham is less than a camel. Even if it is still what we will say in today's time, even if it is a jalopy, but I mean, 1 dirham is still less for it. You know, you have to give more. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued raising the price until it came to 40 dirhams, which was more than what normally that camel would have caught. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jabir, can I give you 40 dirhams for it? They started angling. So Jabir said, okay, the deal is made. Ya Rasulullah, you give me 40 dirhams for it. And as they came to Madinah Munawwara, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Bilal, Bilal radiallahu anhu used to be the one who used to keep the purse of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wallet of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to be in charge of the accounts of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bilal, give Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu 40 dirhams. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the 40 dirhams. Jabir radiallahu anhu was happy. He spoke to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He conversed, and even irrespective of his poverty, what great fortune that the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had dealt with him, conversed with him informally, spoke to him, made him feel nice. He must have went home with such a beautiful situation of happiness. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam after a while said, Bilal, yes, Ya Rasulullah, what must I do? Bilal, take that camel and go give it back to Jabir.
Allah.
And Bilal radiallahu anhu goes to the house of Jabir, knocks on the door, and Jabir radiallahu anhu opened. Bilal, what have you come for? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and gave you this camel. But I sold it to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, I know you sold it to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it back. Now look at that interaction with a young Sahabi. What situations, what topic he chose about marriage. When he came to realize his sacrifice, he still made a joke. Thereafter, he decided to help him, but he decided to help him in a way that did not offend his honor and did not make him feel that he's getting charity. So he bought the camel, and after buying the camel, he went to tell Bilal to give him back. So Jabir went back home. After Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was apprised of his situation of having the dirhams also and getting the camel back. I wonder if we can ever learn with regard to how to interact and help people the way Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why I tell people, read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read it with an open mind to learn to change your life.
Allah. How he must have felt.
How he must have felt.
The entire night, I'm sure the discussion went through his head. How he must have felt.
It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I wonder if we... Sometimes I just wonder that Wallahu alam, Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah Ta'ala make me mark for this particular. We sometimes, when we interact with our children, we want to see a manifestation of ourselves emerging from our youngsters.
Yeah.
We want to see our honor rather than what the children want. So deal with everyone according to them, bring appropriate topics, bring appropriate things. I mean, it is absolutely amazing how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, used to deal with people. Everyone, the wealthy used to deal with them differently. The people who were differently, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to deal with them. Hazrat Zahir was a very famous sahabi whom Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to joke around with. He used to come from outside Medina. He used to be from the outskirts. He used to come from what we used to call the village. And he used to bring things from the village, which you normally don't get in the city. And when Nabi used to go, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give him things from the city, which you don't get in the village.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is my village, I am his city. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get it. Nowadays you get for malls in every small corner, nook and corner. There used to be a time when certain things you used to come and do, buy shopping in Johannesburg, you shouldn't get it, you know, in Wombats or somewhere else. Right? Now things have changed. Now you get big malls and everything is more or less the same. But there are certain type of things that you used to get, you know, from the cities that you don't get. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give him things and he used to go back. When he used to come, he used to bring things from the desert and from the village.
Mm.
Now there they used to get very pure type of dates or whatever it was. Now previously used to get farm butter. So people used to bring farm butter to the city. So then the city used to give them, you know, supermarket butter maybe. So
yeah,
and then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day, he came from the desert and he was selling in the marketplace of Medina. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him. Zahir was sitting there, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came behind him, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam covered his eyes with his hands. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will buy this person from me? Who will buy this person from me? He's my slave. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a joke with him. Who will buy this person from me? And Zahir said, Ya Rasulullah, who will buy me? I'm a useless person. I'm a worthless person. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu said, Wallahi, you know, before Nabi Sallallahu first put his hands over his, and of course, no, he started struggling, because no one likes that, and especially when he's done all of a sudden. Then he realized some way that it is Nabi Akram Sallallahu. So then he didn't struggle, but what he did was, he came closer to Nabi Akram Sallallahu so that his body could touch Nabi Akram Sallallahu and he could get the barakah. Subhanallah. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu came to realize that he knows who it is. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu said, Zahir, who will buy Zahir from me? I'm selling him. And Zahir said, Ya Rasulullah, what are you going to get from me? I'm a worthless person. And Nabi Akram said, Wallahi, O Zahir, in the eyes of Allah, you are not worthless.
Allah.
In the eyes of Allah, Allah knows your worth, Allah knows your iman, Allah knows how clean your heart is. And how Nabi Akram dealt with a villager. Huh?
Mm.
Today we, Allah make us maaf. I mean, what is our way? We have a problem, we come to the masjid, we see people coming from different parts of the world, and you say, India, Papa, or whatever. And one is to say it out of love, and one is to say it looking down upon people.
Hmm.
How Nabi Kareem Sallam dealt with a person who came from the desert? And people normally, even up till now, you will see the people of Makkah, Medina, when they talk about Baddus, they don't talk about them very well.
Hmm.
But how Nabi Kareem Sallam made him so welcoming. Subhanallah.
Amazing. Yes, choosing the right topics. When he would sit with the Ansar, there were people who used to do famine. So he used to tell them, in Jannah, inshallah, these will be the bounties. And he would talk to them about farming also. When he sat with young Sahaba, he spoke to them about women and etc. So keeping the occasion in mind and choose the appropriate topic, even when you are addressing them. So it's important that we keep this in mind. Marana, we've got about a minute left. Perhaps you want to give some concluding remarks before we close off.
Yes, Mona, I would just say that I think the one difficulty we have is that people today don't realize the importance of relationships. They don't realize the importance of how to approach relationships. They don't realize the importance of the right flavor, the right topic, the right situation. You know, the right mood. I mean, surely you have to see the mood of someone, man. You can't deal with someone without their mood. I mean, someone is sitting and is a little depressed over something. You come and discuss something very serious. Someone is laughing. You come and talk about something that is very serious. The situation is a solemn occasion. You bring up a joke. You look at the mood of a person and deal with them accordingly.
Mm.
I mean, you see someone who is upset about something, you come and add marcha into the whole aspect. That is not something that we have to do. Choose the right flavor. Choose the right topic. Choose the right mood. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. I think the time is up. Maybe next week we will just continue with this. In a way, I've been a little bit, I thought maybe, you know, many people would have been able to bring some of their own experiences with regard to that. But I think when you do discuss, I hear many times people saying that when you discuss an incident, we don't like to interrupt and we like to listen to the incident. And of course, this Jabir radiallahu anha's incident was such that perhaps people like to listen to it. But it would be nice to see from people and hear from people how people bring up aspects, how the right topic was brought, how it enhanced a situation, how the wrong topic was brought up, and how, instead of enhancing it, it made the whole situation bad. Inshallah, maybe next week we could continue with it.
Inshallah. When I was in Pakistan, and we went to visit an influential person, so he was doing some horse riding. When he just got done, so I said, he had the horse just there, by us, close to us. So I said, let me speak to him about the horse. And I spoke to him, Al-Adiyat, Al-Dabha, etc., etc. That 5-minute meeting, Mana, became a 2-hour discussion because it was about what he liked. So, just choosing the right topic, the right people at the right time. That's what we need to keep in mind. Mana, inshallah, we'll continue next week.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.